Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Gwen Berry. Nick is up in New York and I'm down here in South Florida, and today our guest is Annie Sparks Poteek. You know, Annie, that always kind of, I always smile when I say it, but I can never remember the name in its correct. You know, is it Poteek Sparks or is it Sparkin Poteek?
It's Sparkin Poteek. After my mom and after my dad, after their passing, I took on both their last names, and it's Sparks Poteek.
Sparks Poteek. That is a pretty name, actually. I was going to play a little Johnny Winter intro, but I don't think we really need it today. And besides, we want to hear as much as we can about Annie and bring to the surface here what you're doing. I see you posted on social media and all over the place with Nia, and I wish you would tell us all about it.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and Gwen, and it's so good to be with you. I just, I don't know if your listeners know that we were together as friends and business cohorts and all kinds of things in South Florida, what was it, over 20 years ago now? And formed a bond that just never stopped, so it's wonderful to be with you again. And since then, I 20 years ago moved to Asheville, and about 1997 I began a deep search for the work that I felt passion for. I didn't know what that was, but I started out by reading a book by the name of Live the Life You Love. I think the author's name is Barbara Sher. I'm not certain about that. But in the doing of that book and just following the steps and letting it move me along, during that time I was introduced to a lady here who was a black belt trainer at the time, in Nia. I had no idea what that was. I went into her first class, and she was playing tribal music, and she was dressed in a big, long black unitard, and I was just absolutely mesmerized, and I thought, wow, that's what Nia is. And so I did the class and actually forgot about it and went back to my search. And a few weeks later, this lady called me out of the blue and said, I'm going to be conducting a training for Nia trainers, Nia teachers, rather, and I think you would be a fabulous teacher. And I said, well, how do you know? I went to one class, and I wasn't all that great at that. And she said, I just know these things and think about it. And so I researched it and found out more about what Nia was and what it would be to be a teacher and what the training would cost. And kind of put it up to the universe at that point. And then I had a dream. And in the dream, it was kind of a kick-ass dream I won't go into, but the dream left me feeling like I needed to jump right into Nia. It was a very powerful, strong dream. And it left me feeling like I needed to do this. Well, didn't have the money, so as it turned out, I had this little federal job. For some reason, unbeknownst to me and probably unbeknownst to them, my job was reevaluated, and it was determined that I was owed a certain amount of back pay. Well, when I got the back pay, it was within $5 of the cost of the Nia training. So I thought that was, I thought that was pretty clear direction that, yeah, here you go, here's the money. And so I jumped right in and never looked back. So that's how I got into it. What Nia is just a beautiful, to me, fusion of movement forms, nine of them, that are all blended and selected because they work with the mechanics of the body, the design of the body. We were designed to move in certain ways, and all these movement forms use that beautiful design of the body rather than working against it, such as, say, ballet. works. It's a beautiful movement form, but it creates the need to go against the body. So, therefore, a lot of ballerinas and ballet dancers later have a lot of physical problems in life due to that. I have a lot of ballerinas or ballet dancers in some of my classes, and they refer to themselves as recovering ballerinas. So Nia uses the movement that is natural to the body, and we blend all of that beautiful movement with choreography and some free dance, and we blend all kinds of amazing music. So we can pull music from rock, top rock 40s or new age music or classical music or anything that appeals to you or any artist that appeals. We can throw that in the mix and dance to that. So a lot's going on there.
Wow. So this is like an artistic free expression through the body, is what you're sort of explaining to me. Do you just teach people the general motions and movements and then allow them to freehand or, you know, freely work with them? Mm-hmm. Or is there set are there set steps that they have to follow, or is this just really about individual interpretation once the training is done?
Actually, yes to all of those. And here's how it works. Yeah, we use those movement forms, and we use, for instance, there might be a song that uses a jazz square. So we'll have a movement using the step called the jazz square, where you move your feet in a specific way. And we teach that, and we get people to do it. You know, they might do a less of a jazz square, more of a jazz square, but that basic pattern, and then we add to that pattern some form of arm movement. Then we might add some form of head movement or spinal movement. And then after a while, after they've done some steps, which gives them kind of like a, I like to think of it as eight different languages or nine different languages for the body to learn. So you might have one body language, but this will give you some extra options to your body movement to learn those steps. And then after a while, yes, we do go into do it your way. Take that move and do it your way. Or completely let yourself self-express and go out of that move altogether and just play and let your body do whatever it wants to do. And then maybe we'll come back and do a different movement or a kick or a block or a punch if we're doing martial arts or Aikido movements or whatever it is. So, yes, we do the steps and the stances, and we teach the body different ways to move, and then we say, go play with that. You know, and let your body do it your way.
You know, I have to, that sounds extraordinarily comfortable and gracious. It sounds like something that just about anybody would be able to take up at their own level. Is that something that's true?
Yes. Yes, and that's one reason, Gwen, that I love it so much, because it is so accessible to everybody. It's not about conforming your body to this societal norm or what you see in magazines or what you see for celebrities. It's all about taking your body where it is and loving it and celebrating it and seeing the amazement of it, the miracle of it, and letting your body move into movement from wherever you are in, like, just like you said, a natural, comfortable way that can put you in touch with what the first principle of Nia is, which is the joy of movement. And when we say the joy of movement, that can be an emotional joy, but what we're really referring to is the physical sensation of pleasure or joy in moving in different ways. And even if someone is chair bound, and I actually teach all levels. I teach people Nia in a chair in assisted living facilities, and I actually even teach a skilled nursing facility where they can barely move at all, but you can see if they might have access to one arm that they can move, and I can see the joy in their face and their eyes that they're in touch with that. So, yeah, it's for every age, every shape, every size, and every body type, and just really taking that sensation and celebrating your body, your physical, beautiful self, wherever you are.
That sounds extraordinarily inviting. I got to say, that's an invitation, what you've explained. I also want to point in this direction, too. You know, there's been work by, and I can't think of her name, Barbara Ann Clough speaks of her often, and she has been pointing out, along with like many or all of the indigenous communities on the planet, how body postures enable us to awaken and to bring greater consciousness into our body. And how does that align? I would imagine that actually aligns very well with Nia.
Oh, yes, it totally does. And it when you say that, what I think of is the postures in yoga and
yes.
how each posture is associated with an attitude. And yeah, that's very simple just to kind of experiment with your own. Like, for instance, if you find yourself kind of humped over your computer, you might find yourself starting to feel a little depressed and low energy and humdrum. And if you just lift your heart and kind of open your rib cage, or if you just open your palms up and out and open your shoulder girdle, you'll start to feel differently as opposed to that humdrum feeling. You'll start to feel open to life again. And what you've done is literally opened your lungs and your heart to life and breath again. Yeah,
that's
so
true. I just did that.
Yeah.
I just did that, and I had greater breath, of course. That's wonderful. Now, how often is this something that I would imagine people, once they embrace it, will use it as a daily practice? It becomes meditation?
Oh, yeah, movement, meditation, and movement. And the meditative part for me in the movement, because I meditate too, just a sitting meditation, and I love that aspect as well. But movement meditation, the meditative part comes from really focusing in on what am I feeling when I move this part of my body? What am I feeling when I move my core? What am I feeling here? Just staying with that body, staying with that sensation. And that to me is also just, it brings to mind the power of now, Eckhart Tolle, and how he talks about really totally being present, bringing all 100% of your awareness and yourself to the present moment. And I don't think, or I don't know personally of any better way to do that than just to become aware of the body and how you're feeling. And you can do that with a real simple practice right now if you want to. I'll do something that I do when I open classes, which is I just gently call attention to the sole of your feet on the floor. Call attention to the sensation of your clothing against your skin. If you're sitting, call attention on how it feels to be sitting in that chair, how it feels to draw your next breath. If you're touching something, how that feels. Is it cold or warm? Is it soft or smooth or rough? How your hair feels against your neck. And you're more present now than you were, or I am, just saying that, than I was 5 seconds ago. So just that simple practice, and then bringing that awareness into greater movement. And we start small, and then we build, of course, and we get aerobic, and then we bring it back down to free dance and bring it back down to the floor where we can really rest and just kind of rest into the earth. And even if we're on the floor, feel we're on the earth, we're earthbound, and we're grounding and being nourished that way. So it goes full circle.
Recharging. I noticed that people who naturally sit on the ground or the floor, people who are good at recharging with the earth.
Yeah, yeah. And we dance barefoot. That's another way of recharging, just being You know, yes. Just having the sensate feet. You know, there's like something like 7 trillion nerve endings in our body, and I don't know how many of those are in the soles of our feet, giving us information as we step. So it's just of immeasurable value just to take off our shoes and have our feet be bare. Another thing that is just amazing to me is that we have something like 200 bones in the body, and of those 200 bones, 26 are in your left foot and 26 are in your right foot. That's a fourth of all the bones in our body are just in our feet alone. So they were made to be moved in so many different articulate, intricate ways that we lose when we stick them into tennis shoes and lace them up. So get barefoot as soon as you can.
Yeah, well, you know I have no trouble with that one. The Japanese are great at telling you to walk on the, what is that art where you walk on the cobblestones barefoot and it massages your whole body?
Acupressure?
Yeah, acupuncture in the walk by walking over the cobbled stones. It reminds me of the tide pool coral rock that happens in Boca Raton, especially down here. And I used to walk on that as a kid. It reminds me of that.
Oh yeah, it causes you to slow down and be very aware, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful practice. I love that.
So you've been doing this. I'm sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
No.
I forgot. That's okay. I'm listening.
I was going to ask you with you've been doing this. I wanted to know how many years have you been doing this?
Well, I went into my training in 1997, my white belt, and I graduated in March of 98 and started teaching, I think, in April and haven't stopped since. And I've been teaching. I currently teach about 12 classes a week, 6 mornings a week.
So this is what you do for living and everything, too.
Yeah, this is my sacred livelihood.
Wow.
I am very, very blessed. Very blessed to be able to do this for my livelihood, yes.
Awesome.
That's really great. It sounds like I remember that you were always very lithe anyways.
Does anyone ever have trouble with it? I'm always interested in the stragglers that maybe don't get it.
Oh, yeah, I nothing is for everybody, and
sure. Yeah,
I have had folks who come in, and it may be that I wasn't the ideal teacher for them, or it may be that, for instance, I've had yoga people come in who found the amount of movement we do a little overwhelming. I've had, what else? Oh. People come in from Sweat Your Prayers or, you know, the 5 Rhythms kind of movement, and they found it a little challenging to be asked to do certain movement patterns. However, you know, some of those folks would later come to me and say, yeah, my body didn't want to do the movement patterns, but once I did it, I realized that it was teaching me more ways to move than I had in my body vocabulary previously, and then they could add that into their free movement.
Interesting with learning, like, routines and things. Like, if you've taken any dance class, that's what it's really about, and you kind of have to train your brain to sort of go, okay, these movements, then this movement, then this movement. But I think it's kind of the same thing as, like, playing an instrument. Sometimes if you think about it too much, it's very difficult. But if you practice and do it a few times, then it becomes a rote body movement. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. And that is a really particular part of Nia, that idea of you said chain your brain. That's an interesting way to put it. But tying your brain in with what your body is doing, that's the idea of neuroplasticity. And there's a great amount of benefit in doing that, but then we let go of that. And the minute it starts to become, like you said, rote, we want to switch and either do some free dance and free movement or go to another pattern and play with another pattern. Because it's not about learning a routine as much as it is playing with the connection between your brain and your body, that neuroplasticity thing, which, by the way, there's research that shows that the best thing you can do to prevent Alzheimer's and dementia is to create a pattern of movement with your body that links the body and brain together. And that is better than anything you can do like crossword puzzles or Sudoku or anything that you're just doing your brain or anything where you're just moving your body. If you put them together, that's where you get that benefit. That's where your left brain and right brain have to begin to communicate to each other. And that keeps that connection going. That's going to keep your brain powerful and aware as you age.
Yeah, that's where the artistry and the creativity lies. I mean, it's the same thing with acting. You have to learn your lines, and it's this rote thing, and then you should be able to say your lines just, you know, like a laundry list, just rattle it off. But then you have to do something interesting with it, and you have to bring some life into it and do it differently and react in the moment. So that's cool.
Then you allow your emotional body to come in and play and express, and you allow your mental and your passion and your feeling and your own unique spirit, your own creativity, your own artistry comes into the movement, just like, you know, what you're talking about. Yeah, that's great.
Cool. It's neat how all these things, you know, it sounds like it would be for anyone that's either a creative type or looking to promote their creativity, you know, through the body. It's like you don't have to be able to make squares and 3D things in a drawing. You don't have to stand up in front of anyone with acting. You know, you can just let it flow and get your brain moving that way. And then you can become more creative in other things you do once that brain part is opened up.
Yep, that's true. And a lot of NIA teachers do workshops where they work with the body and the mind connection that we've been talking about, and then maybe translate it into collages or artwork of some sort. When you were talking about that, it also reminded me of a move we actually did in the NIA class I taught this morning, which is called Folding and Unfolding Your Body. And we get down on the floor and put on some sweet music and just fold and unfold our joints and fold and unfold our muscles and our bones and just play with our body as if it were, this will date me, but I call it Tinker Toys. These days we would say as if your body parts were Legos, and just put them in different orientations and different shapes and play with your own innate creativity with your body that way. So that was
like
a lot of fun.
The expand and contract kind of a thing?
Yeah, uh-huh, expand and contract, and that particular exercise can be led by the sensation of what you're feeling, or if you want to do it from the aspect of I want to stretch, or if you can do it from the aspect of I want to play with my own creativity or my own curiosity. It can be funded from just several different directions.
Wow.
So I want you to get your information out here for folks in the Asheville area. They can find you how?
Good question. They can find me online at www.nianow.com. And when you go to that website, then you can look for a little tab that says Find Nia. And then from there, you can put in my name, Annie Sparks Petite. You can also find us online on Facebook. We have a NIA Carolina page. And I and several other NIA teachers in this area are on that page, and you can find us there. And I'm happy to give out my email if anybody wants to email me directly. It's at dreamdancinannie.com. dreamdancinannie@aol.com. And dancing is spelled without a G, so it's dreamdancinannie@aol.com. And I'm happy to give them information. Go ahead.
Nia is N-I-A?
Nia is N-I-A.
Nice.
Wow. It sounds like if people aren't really satisfied with yoga and they want more motion, this sounds like the ticket.
Or you don't even have to be dissatisfied with what you're doing if you just want to add another aspect that kind of allows your own body to, you know, find a different way and then bring it into whatever else you're already doing. It's wonderful for that, too.
Wow.
It sounds like a different kind of idea from we talk about Tai Chi and stuff and that I've been doing, and that's all, I mean, that's very regimented, you know, you have the however many movements, I don't remember anymore, that you do, and you just do that every day, that's the sequence, but while doing that, there's a certain balance and an understanding and a discipline that happens in the body, so this sounds like a nice answer to that with a little more freedom of movement.
Yeah, and Tai Chi is one of the 9 movement forms that we include in Nia. So Tai Chi, I can't say enough good things about, but you're right. We do give you a chance to be jazzy. We've got jazz dance in it. There's a chance to really, really feel your power and explode it out in Taekwondo movements. There's opportunity to be very sacred. We have yoga that we do in there. It's just a really nice blend that gives your body a wide, wide range of ways to express and be. Just another quick story if we have time. When I first found Mia, being a Southern woman and being taught that you don't say anything ugly and you only speak if you have something nice and sweet to say, I found that I had stored up a lot of anger over the years and a lot of, you know, power that was being blocked that way. And my first Nia class, when it got to one of the songs where we do the kicks and the blocks and the punches and the strikes, I was absolutely in heaven to have a place to put that kind of emotional power into expression. I had never had that before. It was a gift, and I dare say it probably has prevented me from going towards things like high blood pressure and heart attack and stroke and things. I think it's really, really, really given me an avenue to release something that could have eaten me up inside if I hadn't had that.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful observation.
Great story.
Well, I want to take just a 60-minute sort of little tiny break here and do a little ad work and remind everybody that at 7 p.m. on Monday evening, you can tune in right here, same bat channel, same bat station and bat time, 7 p.m., to Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomasini. Nick, what are you going to be talking about this week?
Actually, this week I'm going to Philly to visit my mother, so we're going off air this week, but I'm going to replay the one from last week talking about superhumans and you, which actually ties a lot with what we're talking today because they talk about doing something new with your body and even just doing things left-handed if you're right-handed, you know, trying it out. So you can listen in to the replay.
Opening new channels in the brain and body. That's cool. I also want to do a little plug for Daughters of Isis. First of all, to those people who are into the dance and to all of this, I have a great mister for you, which is the Violet Dragon. I created that for Tai Chi motion. But it works in so many instances, and it's just a great overall healing healing scent and application has flower essences in it that open the nadi and the meridians and allow an energy flow that's sort of universal, coming and going. And one other thing, we've birthed two brand new soaps here. We have Odin, which is a very cold scent, as Odin would be from our god or grandfather's collection. And this is just awesome. I just got it in my hand. And also the sweetgrass and white sage. It's a real checkerboard soap. So tune in later to get a good look at it. Anyways, that's our 60-second break. And reminders, it's daughtersofisis.com. Annie.
Yes.
tell me something, a little something, about the active dreaming that you're involved with. Can you?
Yes, absolutely. I've been a student of dreaming and just a lover of my own dream life for as long as I can remember, from the time that I dreamed I was chased by a bear at the age of 5. And then later found out that the bear is definitely one of my power animals. And that's why he was chasing me. He wanted me to give me his power and give me his gift. Later in years, I took dream analysis classes, which were great to a point, but left me feeling a little stranded, like that just wasn't, that didn't cover the richness of the dream life that I was having. And then I ran across a book by Robert Moss, and the moment I started reading that book, it just opened me up to the richness of my dream life. And I love him because he is eminently qualified to teach dream work, having had 2 or 3 near-death experiences of his own, during which his own dream self lived its own separate life with, as he put it, and this is just a real synopsis, he felt he lived under the earth with another species of beings that were not human, had an entire life there, got married, had children. He died to that life, and he came back to this life and woke up from a coma as an 11-year-old boy. And so he's been in the dream time in ways that a lot of us have not, and he teaches from that place. Not only that, he is such a scholar, and he's got a photographic memory. So anything about the history of dreams or anything about the science of dreaming that he's ever learned, he can retain in a moment and bring that into any discussion. So he's got just so much to share from so many realms. At any rate, I started working with him and was led to work with him, and he has established, he has created something called the active dreaming technique, or the lightning dream work technique, which allows you to share a dream with a loved one or a community person or a member, someone that you want to create community with, and to have that person help you look into your dream yourself and see what meaning is there for you. And then that person can kind of lay at your feet his or her own gentle observations about your dream, so that the dreamer can take all that information and make what he or she will of the dream, rather than superimposing any kind of a dream diary or a dream interpretation on your dream. It leaves the dreamer as the final authority of his or her dream. And it's just a beautiful way to go very deeply with dream work, and also to then create an action step to bring that dream into your daily life. Because dreams, in my experience, my dreams led me to NIA. And then every time I went into a NIA training, I would have a dream, a teaching dream that would help me in the completion of my next belt level. So dreams have the ability to lead us and guide us and heal us and show us and bring our power animals to us. And even if we're having nightmares. One thing that Robert Moss says, I love it because I know it to be true, is that dreams are never on our case. They're always on our side. So that's just a whole other realm of guidance and friendship and self-empowerment that we can access there.
I think that's just absolutely wonderful. I mean, I think you know how much I value my own dreams. Do you remember the story, how Asa and I met when Daughters of Isis opened in Pompano?
I don't. Why don't you remind us all right now about that dream? I'd love to hear it again.
Asa walked through the door, but I dreamt about him like 2 days before I actually saw his face in my dreams. And when he came in, oh, good Lord, I remember he had that cane, his Uncle Willie's cane he always used. I was just pretty stunned, but I kept pretty mute about things. And about a week later, he told me, we were out having a meal together, and he told me, you know, the night before I came into Daughters, I dreamt about you.
Wow. Yeah,
yeah. You know, we used to open a seminar in Denmark that way.
I love that. That's fantastic. And I've experienced that, too, of our dream self going out kind of like a scout ahead of us and kind of telling us what's about to happen and bringing that information back.
You know, I really love the way that you're talking about this because you're not using all those old para or psi terms. You're talking about this on a very, let's sit down with a cup of coffee and talk about it. That's a gift, Annie. That's a real gift.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think so, too. That's why I love Robert's work. I highly recommend him. And he's written, I think, about a dozen books now, Robert Moss. So if anybody's interested in exploring their dreams, that's a great place to start. Just kind of go over his list of titles. And if one of them just goes, boom, that sounds really great, you know, just kind of follow that intuitive hit and go for that one.
Yeah, it's really helpful because I felt the same as you with when you take, you know, conventional other books or classes about dreaming. Like, it's kind of, sometimes I feel it's sort of Freudian, and not that, you know, Freud was wonderful
right.
with what he did, but there was definitely a certain lens he was looking at things, and it's not always that. Like, it can be, but there's a whole other world. And then to incorporate the spirit side and the spirit animal and, you know, all together, what it really is. So he sounds like, I wrote his name down, it sounds like a really great reference.
Thank you. I think so, too. I mean, I remember when I was in one of those classes and I had a big dream and I said, oh, does it mean this, this, and this? And the teacher at that time said, no, it means this, this, and this. And I went, no, I beg to disagree. And my feeling at that point in time was, and I don't know where this comes from, but I'll just put it out there. It was my own intuitive hit of wisdom that says there are at least 7 levels of any dream. And at any point you can access any one of those levels. It's going to give you some benefit and some information, you know, to bring back that. Because the unconscious that where we dream is a part of ourselves. It's kind of like an iceberg in the water. It's like 8/9 of us is submerged in that subconscious huge aspect of life and the conscious life that we know that we are awake to is about 1/9. And so to access that other 8/9 can't help but just enrich us and empower us and all kinds of great things.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've always considered that it's like getting a, quote, reading. Somebody can sit down with you who's extraordinarily gifted and give you a prognostication, if you will, or tell you what's going to come up in your life. But it's up to you to interpret the clues that they give you and to really find your way with it. I mean, I've always thought that. And it's always been a for me. And dreams are exactly the same. You might have an extraordinary Jungian-based dictionary or whatnot for dream interpretation. They can be helpful to guide you if you're confused and focused on a dream, but it's really your own instincts and intuition that's going to guide you to the truth of the matter.
That's right. And one thing Robert Moss says is to, and I went to dream school with him, and I was with that amazing, huge, giant personality for 5 days. But one thing he says is to create your own dream symbols. So if you notice in your dreams that you dream of a black dog, and that comes over and over and over again, then you can say, oh, what was going on around every time I saw that black dog? For Robert, that is one of his personal symbols. A black dog to him is akin to Anubis in the Egyptian mythology. And so when he sees a black dog in travel, or when he dreams of one, or when he encounters one in real life, he takes that as a sign, oh, that the next trip I'm going on, or this trip I'm going on, or this journey, whatever, is going to, I'm going to get there safely. I'm going to arrive safely. That's my symbol. I don't know, I do know you remember Ted Andrews. I got to be with him with you in Florida, and also I got to be with him here in Asheville a few times. And he said at one of his workshops that every time he went to do a mask workshop, he would look for his, or any kind of a workshop, he would look for his symbol, which was a hawk flying. And this one particular time he was doing a workshop on masks making. And he looked for his hawk, and he looked for the hawk, and he looked for the hawk, and he never saw it. Then as he was going, as he was driving to the workshop, he saw on the side of the road a raccoon. And the raccoon stopped and just followed him, looked him in the eye and followed him. And he went, well, of course, it's a mask-making workshop. Of course, a raccoon with his own mask would be my power animal here. So,
wow.
God, I missed.
Ted.
Oh, he was great.
Go ahead.
Oh, he's a great teacher, Ted. He was a fabulous.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
And he always put the power into the person, not outside of the person. He told me at least six times, very in my eyes, like, Gwen, please learn this. that I trust myself and not outside myself when it came to any kind of go find your confirmation.
Nice. Yes.
Because confirmation is around us everywhere. We have to recognize it for ourselves.
Yeah. That was the best advice that I got from a dreaming class, and I just discussed this. It's so funny. When Gwen said we were having someone talk about dreaming, I was like, I was just talking about my training in dreaming on Facebook. But one of the best things that the teacher said was, at the end of the day, it's really all about what it means to you. Like, you're the authority.
Yes, yes. That's beautiful, isn't it? Can I share a little bit of Robert's lightning dream work technique with you? You ladies might want to work with it.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's just a real. Okay, great. It's just a really quick, great technique for bringing your dream to life and helping you see inside of it. So, the first step in the lightning dream work technique is to tell your dream to someone else that you trust, that you know has ears to really be there for you and hear it, and then tell it like a story that's happening right now. Tell it in first person. Tell it in present tense. If you don't remember to do that, it's okay, but the more you can remember to tell it in present tense, you're really accessing the dream time as you're in the telling of it. So that's the first step. Then give your dream a title, like a story. And in that title giving, you're telling yourself a lot about what was prominent for you in that dream. And then a really big important step is the next thing. You ask yourself or your dream person is asking you, your companion, who is helping you reflect this back, asks you, how did you feel when you woke up? And that's where you go to the body rhythm. So you might dream something that's real scary, but you might feel really great when you wake up, and that's telling you something about the dream that isn't readily apparent from the dream narrative, or vice versa. You might tell a story that seems pretty innocuous, but you feel a little bit of dread or fear when you wake up. So that's telling you something you need to know. Your body knows something that your mind may have not had time to catch yet. So then there are three more questions that your dream companion or you yourself can ask yourself. One is, and this is looking to see if your dream is trying to tell you something that's going to be happening for you in your real life. And the question is, did you see anybody, anything, or any place that you recognize? So if a person in your real life is in your dream, it might be telling you something that's going to happen. If it's a place that you know, it might be telling you something that's going to happen. If so, you can look at that. If not, that's okay. You go on. And then the next question is, what would you like to know about your dream? What aspect do you have questions about? What do you want to know what that bear was doing in your dream? Do you want to know why you dreamed about climbing up a mountain? Do you want to know, you know, just whatever it is that you felt unresolved about? What do you want to know? And then after you have a chance to explore these questions for yourself, then your dream companion might come back and say, well, if it were my dream, this. Or the dream companion can also say, well, in my dream, in my dream of your dream, I saw this, or in my dream of your dream, because in actuality, they're not in your dream. They're having their own, you know, experience of your dream, which could be something entirely different. So they can make those observations. Then at the end of all of that, which however long it takes, then you can do a couple things, which I love. You can create what we call a one-liner, a catchy one-liner or a bumper sticker slogan about your dream to catch the energy of that dream and to take it with you that day, whatever that might be. And that's always fun. That's a lot of fun to do. And then ask what action step would you like to do to honor that dream. So it might be to make a phone call, to share your dream with somebody else. It might be to make a piece of artwork about that dream. It might be to write it down. You might have been given impetus to go find a new healing modality or something. But whatever it is, take an action step to honor your dream. And that action step in your life tells your dream self that, oh, I'm willing to work with you. And your dream self goes, oh, good, I'll give you some more information. You know, we'll keep working together. So it keeps the magic happening.
Wonderful.
And that's it.
That's wonderful. Those are great steps. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, with a dream, can you take, when you wake up and you remember very vividly just this one thing, one incident happening, and you tell it to another person, yes?
Yes. Yeah, dream snippets. We call those dream snippets, and they can be just as powerful as an entire dream. It doesn't have to be an epic in order to give you a lot of information. I've seen that happen a lot.
Can I share one that was recent, yesterday?
Oh, that would be great.
I had a snippet. I woke up and I felt good. I've had trouble with my sciatic nerves, so I was feeling physically rejuvenated. But then I got the image of that snippet, and in the snippet it was like dark out and I was laying in my bed. I think I was asleep, and I opened my eyes and there was a skylight, if you will, through my roof. And I saw mm-hmm. all these faces looking down at me with no particular expression on them, but They kept changing, and that was just the snippet. I came to my own instincts and intuitions about it, but I'm telling it to you, so what would be the next step?
Well, the next step then, you already said you woke up feeling better, and you feel like you're feeling rejuvenated, so that gives you some information. Give that little snippet a title.
Observation.
Observation, okay. And you felt great when you woke up. And did you recognize the place you were in or anybody or anything in the dream?
No, I really, except that I got the very distinct impression that it was in the here and now. Like the bed I was that where I had just been sleeping. It was real time.
Good. And is there any aspect about your dream that you're still wondering about? Anything you'd like to know about any other aspect about it?
I came to a conclusion, so no, I don't wonder over it. But I also, yes, okay, that's wrong, because I wonder if my conclusion is, I'm waiting for the confirmation. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So if it were my dream, what I get is light at the end of the tunnel, being in that dark place and looking up into a skylight, seeing light coming into the situation. And you already mentioned your sciatica and that I believe you said it's already feeling better.
Yes, I was feeling rejuvenated. Yeah.
Great. So definitely some light coming into that situation. It sounds like your intuition is right on, and that there is some healing and some light and energy coming into that area. And, just as simple as that. And if you could make a catchy one-liner or bumper sticker from that dream snippet, what would it be?
I am not alone.
Great. Yay. And what action step would you be willing to take to honor that dream?
To begin to be a lot more in tune with and talking to my guides.
That's great. And how would you do that? How would you do that on a real-time, daily basis?
Same way I always do it. Look for the signs of them around me and intuit that if they're there or not, and initiate conversation.
Yay. And maybe honor those guides in some way. I'm seeing maybe the possibility of doing a piece of art on your guides, or putting up a picture that you see every day of those guides or something like that. But that would be what I would do. That would be in my dream.
Oh, that's great. I have one of them up all the time behind me. But, that's a wonderful suggestion. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for going through that process with me and sharing that dream snippet. That's wonderful.
Wow.
That's a great one.
Yeah, very. And I see the different levels you were talking about how to, it's really all of them. And when you tell them to a dreaming friend and what they see, like what I saw listening was guides off-worlder friends all looking in on you, and that feeling of wellness is them energetically also very close. So,
yeah.
Right on. No.
That's beautiful too. I apologize. I didn't think to ask you for your if it were my dream input back then. I'm sorry. I kind of got focused in on Gwen's voice there.
Oh yeah, no, but it's cool. You know, if you tell your dream to different friends, you can incorporate what different ones see from their perspective and put it all together. Because I thought what you said was also exactly Right on. It's so cool when you can see it through someone else's lens.
Oh, yeah.
Truly.
It's a great, big, beautiful world out there to play in, isn't it? I mean, the dream world is just so vast.
Yeah.
It is. Now, Annie, we're coming to the top of the hour. I would really love it if you'll promise to come back and share more with us.
I would be honored to.
These are great, great topics, especially the dreaming, because so many people will reach for that. And getting people interested in the Nia and the expression through language of the body. Really wonderful stuff. Now, once again, will you please give folks the your call letters on the places they can find you?
Sure. Just feel free to email me at dreamdancingannie@aol.com. And that's dream, like just like you think it's spelled, dancing with no G, and Annie, A-N-N-I-E, at AOL.com. And I would be thrilled to share any information I can with anybody who's interested in more.
Wonderful. And we will hear a replay on Monday evening of Spirit Therapy while Nick is in Philly.
Have a good time.
Yeah, have a really great time, Nicole.
Thank
you. Go barefoot.
What'd you say?
Go barefoot.
I've been doing that more often, and it is a huge thing. I would say if you live in a city, definitely find some grass, take your shoes off, and walk in it. It's an amazing re-anchoring into the world. Incredible. So simple.
I'm barefoot all the
time. I'm going to do it right now.
Come on, doing it.
Yeah, please come back, Annie. I have questions about astral traveling and things like that, so it'd be great if we could do a part two. Thank you so much for your wisdom.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Oh, appreciate it, Annie. And it was so good to talk to you again. I missed your voice.
I missed yours too, Gwen. Let's make this one of many more, okay?
Okay. I want to thank our listeners, as usual, and I will remind everybody, this isn't usually the side of the street who listens, but tomorrow we have the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, and I will also be guest paneling on the Progressive News Network right afterwards. So the Political Sunday, don't forget us, we're here at 6 p.m., and next Saturday, we'll be back with the Consciousness Shift. And soon, we hope to bring Annie back with us. Thanks so much again, Annie. And Nick, thank you, darling.
Thank you. Why don't you play the Johnny Winters for the playout? I'd like to hear it.
Okay, I will, in tribute to one of the absolutely greatest blues men. Hopefully this is going to play. It's been sitting on pause, but let's go for it. Annie, I'll talk to you soon, sweetie.
Okay, wonderful, Gwen. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Up their guns, child, and made it to the grave. When I walk in a bar, girls come from New York. He's a gangster of love. Oh, jump on my white horse, ride across the border line. Roll 55. For me and each and every state, gangster of love. Don't you know, gangster of love. When I walk in a bar, girls from near and far say,